Well, good morning, and welcome here. It's certainly a joy to be here for me, and I'm so glad we have so many people here this morning, and I truly believe we're going to be blessed by God's Word this morning. I hope you've come prayerfully this morning, and that we will we'll go through Scripture, and we'll find out some things that we need to do to uphold our life in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to greet you with the words that we find in the book of Colossians chapter 1, where Paul writes, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints." Amen. So if we have guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and as I mentioned, it's certainly a joy to be here. I've been going through the book of Romans, and I'm going to be continuing to do that. So one thing about this whole experience that we've been going through with COVID, we've been kind of relegated to our own churches. So I've been speaking a lot in the village of Summerfeld. And so we've been going through that book of Romans, which actually I find it fascinating. So I hope you will learn a lot this morning, and we're going to be turning to Romans chapter 14 for the service this morning. But before we begin to do that, let's unite our hearts for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, again, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the opportunity of fellowship in your name. What a privilege it is to be here and to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we just trust that, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit upon each one here today, that you will reveal the truth to us, and that we will apply it to our lives. So, Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth this morning, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. Lord, we're also asking that you would place a hedge of protection around this church and this sanctuary. Father, that Satan and his forces would have no part here, but that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. Father, I ask that you grant me strength as I deliver the message this morning that you have put upon my heart. May it be explained clearly and truthfully. And Father, we also want to pray for those that could not attend for whatever reason. We know that some people are ill. And Father, we just ask that you would place a hedge of protection over them as well and give them healing and peace. And so, Father, as we are going to meditate on your word this morning, again, we ask for your presence. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. At this time, we'll have a couple songs, please.
Take your red book and turn to number 433. There's a land that is fairer than they.
Prepare us a dwelling. Let's turn to page 396. I love to tell the story. Page 396.
What a wonderful time of singing. And that last song about telling a story, well, I'm going to start off telling you a story. I got a phone call yesterday, and I want to share this phone call with you because I want to encourage you to keep telling the story, because it does change lives. We have been dealing with a situation for the past, I'm going to say, 30 years. And this woman, she called us, and she asked us years ago that we would pray for her husband to receive Jesus Christ. And by all standards that man would put forward, we would say he was a good man, but he had not accepted the Lord. Yesterday, we got that phone call, and he says, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So don't forget to tell the story. It took 30 years of prayer and whatever, it doesn't matter. We have another brother joining the army, and that is what we need. We need to be motivated, and we see God is still working and still moving, so keep going, people. We need to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. So it was super, super exciting for us, and I don't know how else to explain it. It was just an amazing phone call. So with that, we're going to get started, and I hope we're going to get motivated to hear what Paul has to say to the Romans. So turn with me to Romans chapter 14. I want to read the first three verses. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not in doubtful disputations. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But that word disputations simply means in disagreement or arguing. Okay, so we got to... I'm going to read it again and put in a different word there. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful arguments. Okay? So we need to be focused. For one believeth that he may eat all things, who is weak eateth herbs. So here we have, right off the bat here, we have two different sides, so to speak. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. That's our objective. We're not supposed to despise this. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. So we're not supposed to judge, for God hath received him. So we have to understand what we're doing in our life. Let's make sure we're not judging people for what they are doing. And we're going to find out more of this as we go through. But I want to turn to the book of Colossians just for a moment. And I think it explains it a little bit clearer there. So Colossians, we wanted to turn to Colossians chapter 2. And I want to turn to two verses. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 is the first one. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we are given a warning to be careful. So I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things going on in the world, and we have to discern what is right and what is wrong, right? We got to discern the truth. Where do we find the truth? In God's Word. How many of you are faithfully in God's Word? That is where we need to be. Let's move forward to verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of the holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. So I want to go back to what we were talking about in Romans, where it basically talking about what you eat and you drink, and here it's confirming that, saying we're not supposed to judge people. And a lot of that is going on, I think, today, that the world is judging us, we're maybe judging the world, and I want to encourage us to stop. Let's focus on God's Word. Because God's Word changed lives. I just shared that with you about this man who's given his life over to Jesus Christ. Now, if we're going to go out and we're going to follow the world, and we're going to yell and scream and do all these things, that the world is doing. How is it that we are going to help draw people to Christ? We just can't do it then, can we? We need to encourage them with the Word of God, the truth. So I want you to hold on to that and grab onto that. And it's so powerful. People are being changed. And we need to recognize this and then celebrate it. Like, I don't know about you, but when I got that news yesterday, I wanted to jump up and down. In fact, I gave the phone to my wife and I walked away. I walked down outside and I went outside and I was just like, this is so amazing. I can't believe it finally happened. I can't believe it. About a year ago, I had a conversation with this gentleman. We were at their house. Him and I were sitting outside. And he opened up about the Bible. He wanted to learn something. And he had some questions. And I got to have that privilege of sitting with him and explaining some of his concerns and thoughts. It was amazing. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I said, 10, 15, 20 years ago, I never thought you and I would have this conversation. And he smiled at me and he says, I know. I've changed. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. So I hope you can walk out of here today motivated. Not to get caught up in the worldly things, but get motivated to get caught up in what Jesus Christ is still doing today. Amen. So let's move on to verse 4. Who art that thou judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. So to me, what that is saying, it's none of our business. Ye shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I don't know if I understand this correctly, but this is how I understand it. This is how I perceive what he's saying here, okay? So I want to encourage you, firstly, to read this over when you get home, prayerfully, and hopefully God reveals you the understanding. But this is how I understand it. In verse 5, it's saying, one man esteemeth one day above another. So one day is more important than another day. Another esteemeth every day alike. So to me, that's every day is the same. Doesn't matter to him or her. Then it goes on to put that onto each individual. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind or fully assured in his own mind. So whether that person esteems one day or above another or alike, we are not to judge that. That is not our duty. Okay? That's how I understand that. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. But he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. I think what we need to draw out of here is we need to give God thanks. We need to be thankful. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. So we are looking at the way, again, the way I perceive this is this is really focusing on not us not judging what other people are doing. Now, I know sometimes when we look at things, and I mean, we all have opinions about whatever. We just went through an election. We all probably have an opinion about the election. And I was here 2 weeks ago, and I talked about the authority of the government. Some of you are going to say, maybe you're going to say, the party that was elected, you didn't like that idea. Some of you are going to say you like the idea. Well, they're in there for a purpose. Now the challenge is, are they going to follow God's direction? And, you know, we've looked, if you look, take a look in the Old Testament, I want to encourage you to do this. You go back and you look in the Old Testament and you follow the kings. So read the book of Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and do it in this manner. So in 1 Kings, you read half of 1 Kings, then go to half the next, or the first half of 2 Kings, and read that first half of that. And then you go back and you read the second half of 1 Kings, and then you read the second half of 2 Kings. And then you're gonna see a pattern and a sequence of godly kings and evil kings, and how God took care of the evil kings and what he did with them. And you're going to see what God did with the godly kings and how he blessed them. It's quite interesting and unique. It's going to take you some time. So enjoy it. But get into the Word. The Old Testament teaches us an awful lot. It teaches us an awful lot. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to read the first two verses. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for that he has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And that's what I'd like to drive home here, is that we follow God's will. Know your purpose. I shared just before we came up here this morning, I shared in the ministerial room about a little blurb that was given to me, either a text or email or whatever it was. And this is what this person said, and I think she got it from a famous quote. It doesn't matter. But it goes something like this. How many of you are parents? Any of you have children? There's quite a few of us that have children. Okay. How many of you are concerned about your children? Of course we are. How many of you are concerned about yourself in this generation that we live in right now? Of course we are. It's natural. Nothing wrong with it. Here's what she sent me. God has placed us in this time and this generation to fulfill his will and his purpose. There's a reason we're here. Now, if we're going to fumble and around in the world and get caught up in all the worldly things, what's going to happen to us? What does the Bible teach us? We can only serve what? How many masters? One master, right? So if we get caught up and we start trying to serve two masters, we're going to love one and hate the other. So folks, let's get our focus on serving the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our master. He is our God. He is our Lord and King. And if we're going to follow him, where are we going to end up? How many of you are confident in your salvation? That's a question you need to ask yourself and address to yourself. 5 weeks ago, my dad died. And it was one of the best days of my life, because I knew that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dad suffered through dementia, and we lost him a few years back already because he didn't know who we were. And he got to go to glory. It's one of the happiest moments I've had in my life. And I shared this here when I was here 2 weeks ago, but I want to quickly share it again. I got a a message from my mom. She texted me one morning because she had been over the previous day, and she had asked, "How are you doing?" I said, I'm okay. Well, what does that mean? How many of you ever said that to somebody? I'm okay. And I was good. So she texted me this long message. How are you really doing? And she went on and asked a few questions. And I said, "Mom, I'm at total peace. I'm at total peace with this." That is the best place you can be if you are at peace with God. So how many of you are ready for Jesus to come tomorrow or today? How many of you are ready to go? That's what we need to be prepared for. I've heard it from generations way back that, oh, Jesus has got to be coming soon. How many of you believe it today that Jesus is going to be here soon? I'm one of those. I'm hoping so. And I'm ready for the church to get raptured and let's go. But until that day, or until we see death, we got to fight the good fight. We got to keep going. I know sometimes it looks pretty bleak. How many of you follow the media and you hear all the news that's going on in the world and all the devastation and nasty things that are happening? Well, you get caught up in that. How many of you get a little depressed if you read all that? Yeah, you do, right? Well, what are we going to do to change it? Number one is we pray about it. We're supposed to bring all our concerns to the Lord. You bring it to the Lord. It's way bigger than us. And maybe he'll pick a few people. Maybe you're going to be one of those to change part of the world. Wait on him. Let him do it through you if he calls you to do it. We need to be good soldiers. We need to fight the good fight, and we may have to lay down our lives. But let's do it, and do it joyfully. I think you look at the apostles, they were normal people, other than they loved the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind, just like we are supposed to. And if we're going to do that, we will be given the strength to take on whatever is put before us on this world. So grab hold of the faith, grab hold of Jesus Christ, and let's move, and let's move in a big way. Before we go over to the second portion of the service this morning, I got a phone call from I just want to share how it happened. I was on my way here, I got a phone call from my daughter, and she said someone had called her this morning, I was supposed to relay a message to me for a prayer request, and she gave me the name of a Henry Friesen. I don't know who this is, but apparently this individual is on life support. Things don't look very good at this point, so they're asking for your prayer support. So at this time, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus? May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Let's take our blue hymnal and turn to page 469, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Let's all stand.
I want to thank you for that singing and praying and having name prayed in the name of Jesus. You can be assured your prayers will have been heard. What an encouraging and uplifting song. Okay, as we continue in the book of Romans, once again, we want to turn back to Romans chapter 14. Beginning at verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. Do not forget who you are. Never, ever forget you belong to the Lord. You are very precious to him. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and dead. No other person can claim that. You have some other teachings out there in this world that they teach that they have a God. We have a living God. We have a living Savior. There's idol worship. There's all sorts of things. I think we all know what idols are. Only we have a living God. Only believers have a true living God. But why dost thou judge thy brother? That's a question to us. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? In other words, that phrase kind of means reduce to nothing. Why would we do that? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So it's so important for us not to judge. We should not be knocking down people. We are going to have to kind of explain for that someday, aren't we? We are responsible for that. It is up to us as individuals to make sure we're not doing stuff like this. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Whether you're a believer or whether you're not a believer, at some point you will stand before God. You will fall on your knees, and you will have to give account. That is what the scripture teaches us. Every knee is going to have to bow. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So it's on you and I. We give account for ourselves. So why are we so busy pointing fingers at different individuals or groups? We need to stop this. We have to give account for all those things that we're doing, all those things that we're saying. It is very important for us to stand right before God, don't you think? How do we do that? Are there some things in your life that are maybe hindering you? Or maybe you're not sure and you're struggling with a little bit and you're going, you know, I'm pretty sure this is okay. I'm pretty sure it's okay. Well, have you checked? Have you checked in God's Word? Does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, you know you're in the wrong. It's not rocket science, is it? And if you don't want to take the time to do it, guess who's responsible? You are, and I am. We can't pass the buck. Have you noticed that in society? That's one of society's favorite trends. One thing I have, as the company I've worked for, I've been there now 36 years plus. And I've had to do some interviews and hire people and whatever. And when I do that, I tell them something like this. You are going to make a mistake, and that is okay. Because I've been there 36 years. You think I might still make a mistake? Yeah, still do. Any profession you're in, anything you do in life, guess what? You're still making mistakes, aren't you? You are accountable for them. And that's what I like to tell the people that we interview and we want to talk to. You know what? If you've made a mistake, come and tell us, let us know, and we'll try to correct it. Don't pass the buck. Just come up and say, this is on me. I did this. It's my fault. I have far more respect of a person in the workforce that does that than tries to pass the buck. I really appreciate when people are honest and they come forward with their error. So this is something that I think we can all take away. Remember, we are going to be accountable. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. This is how I interpret this passage. If it presents a problem to you that I am doing something, and you really think it's a salvation issue, then it's good for me not to do what I was doing, because then you might say, well, if he's doing it, then it's obviously good for me. And it might be wrong. And we need to make sure that's what we're looking after. But who are we looking after? We're looking at ourselves first. Okay, I'm causing someone to fall. I want to make sure I don't do that. So we need to consider that. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, when we look in the Old Testament, we find that there were certain animals that were considered unclean. Here, it's saying that there is no, the way I understand it, is there is no animal that is unclean if we prayerfully ask to receive it. In some cultures, there are certain meats that you don't eat. And so, if that culture happens to attend your home, it's better you don't serve that meat. That's what I believe this is telling us. That's what we need to respect each other in such a way. But if thy brother be grieved and with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. We all know what charity means. It also means love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. So in other words, we look at that verse, it says, let not your good, and it says, be evil spoken of, or we could put in there, acquire a bad name. So now your reputation is on the line. Does that help you understand that a little bit? So how many of you want to value your reputation as a Christian? I think that should be very important to us. So if we value that, we want to make sure we're respecting what Paul is teaching the Romans here. It's very pertinent today. It's very valuable for us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. Let's read on. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is what the kingdom of God is truly about. How many of you have joined Jesus Christ today? Are you excited about coming to church? Or are you just here because it's Sunday morning? I hope you're excited to be here. I hope you came prayerfully and were just, I can't wait to get to church. I hope that's you. I hope that's me. I hope that's all of us. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, and what else? And approved of men. That's, I don't know, to me, I take that as a double blessing. I look at that and say, wow, if we're gonna do these things, if we are going to come with the joy of the Holy Ghost, if we're going to have that peace in our heart, this is acceptable to God, And then we are approved of men as well. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Does that mean we're all going to be, 100% in agreement all the time? No, that's not what I'm trying to get across. But folks, we got to stop the judgment thing. I think way too much of that is happening. Way too much is going on. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read one verse there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I chose verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That kind of coincides with that scripture passage, doesn't it, that we read in Romans. I'll read it again. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In other words, let's do it right. Let's get it right. And when we get it right, I want to step back to that opening story I told you of this new brother that's coming to the Lord. That's what happens when we get it right. We get people coming to the Lord. And I hope we start seeing that in the thousands and thousands, that more and more people will be coming to the Lord, because maybe we're going to be people getting it right, and they're going to see that in us, and then we will be acceptable to them because we're sharing the gospel with them, not always our opinions. Let's follow God's word through this. Romans chapter 14, let's go to verse 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, building up. We got to encourage and build up. I want to propose a challenge to you. This is something each one of us can do. For those of you parents that have children at home and are attending school, I want to challenge you to write them a note of encouragement and stick it in their backpack or their books or something where they'll find it. And if you don't have children going to school anymore, and maybe your spouse is working outside the home somewhere, I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Maybe you're retired. I want to encourage you to write a note to your spouse, if you're still blessed with a spouse. And if you're single, write it to your neighbor, just on a little sticky note. Maybe you're better at technology than some. Maybe you want to send a little text or an email, something positive, edifying, that builds somebody up, encourages them, gets them to smile. If we walk into the communities around us today, what do you see on most people's faces? Do you see smiles or frowns? I would venture to guess that most of us are walking around with a frown. It's time to turn it upside down. We gotta get smiling. We gotta be positive. We gotta edify. We gotta build up. We gotta motivate people. Encourage them with a good word. One of my favorite things that I like to say to people, and it comes from God's word, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. That's who you are in God. Don't let somebody else knock you down. Always remember that passage of scripture. I want you to share with people that you love and you care. We need to get out there. We need to put our love into action. And it's easy to do with a little note. So I want to encourage you to do that. For verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is neither good to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And then we talked about that a little bit before. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Folks, I want you to take some time. I want to really encourage you, after you go home today, to go back to the book of Romans chapter 15. Please read it again. Read it prayerfully. Maybe some of the things that I understand aren't correct. So I hope that when we walk out of here, you're going to be motivated to go and go enjoy and smile. Life's good. There's a lot of good things going on. But if we're going to look just at the negative and the bad things that are going on, that's going to reflect on how we reflect on others. So how do you want to reflect? I want to conclude with this. When Jesus is walking on this planet, how do you suppose he walked? With his head hanging low? I don't think so. What made people want to draw to him? Because he spoke the truth. He taught the truth. He is the truth. And guess what? Man followed him. And we are going to be acceptable to men, not all men. Jesus wasn't accepted by all men either. But we are going to be blessed because people will come to know Jesus. Don't you want to present that to God someday? Instead of all the other negativity that's going on? And you're going to bow before him, and he's going to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And how come he's going to say that? Because you accepted Jesus Christ. You followed God's will. And you went to war for him. So that's what we're faced with. So let's go to war. We're fighting powers and principalities. Remember who we're fighting. And we go to war with the word of God. That's how we get victory. So are you ready for victory? Then get in the word. So I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen. So I just want to encourage you. Let's get it done. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, Lord, we look at what you taught the Romans through Paul, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just ask that you prepare us, that we're going to go out and fight the good fight. So, Father, we just ask that you place your armor upon us, that we are going to go out with the sword of the Spirit, and we are going to smite the evil one. Lord, that we would be prepared to go into battle. And we, Father, we know that we will become victors. Father, we just trust you, and we want to follow you till the very end of our lives. And Lord, I just want to invite anybody that is here today that has not been baptized and has not accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, would be willing to do so. May you prick their hearts so that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we need as many people as possible to fight this fight. So we're asking, Lord, that you would open hearts, minds, and souls, and that you would strengthen us that love you and follow you at this point in our lives, that you would protect us, that we would follow you all the days of our lives. Father, I pray a blessing on each one that has come this morning. May you grant them wisdom, peace, and discernment as we battle through our lives. May you bless our time together, and we just ask all of this in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you an opportunity for some time in prayer once again. So again, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Take the blue book and turn to page 472. All the way my Savior leads me.
Thank you, Brother Jeff, for grabbing our attention and motivating us to focus on God's and God's Word. Thank you very much. We have several announcements today. Clubs are planning to start this coming Wednesday, October 6th. There's registration forms in the lobby or in the Sunday school. Also, young adult Bible study. We are inviting young married and singles that are post-college in careers up to the age of 35 to join us for Bible study. We are planning to meet on Mondays, starting October 18th at 7:30 p.m. Also, the annual church meeting. We are planning our annual church meeting October 19th at 7:30 p.m. in the sanctuary with snack to follow. I take it that's still going to happen. You're very welcome to join us, for we have some important things to discuss, which I will be mentioning shortly. Come with a heart that is filled with love, unity, and humility. As I was saying, some of the stuff that will be on the agenda for the annual meeting in regards to what happened at our Brotherhood meeting yesterday. The music resolution that was in the bulletin, just to inform you, was passed yesterday. So now stringed instruments may be used Sunday mornings to accompany the hymns if the local church decides to use them. Okay. Also yesterday, it was passed that we may elect deacon assistants on a term position to assist the local deacons with their duties. So that'll also be on the agenda for the annual meeting. There will be a soup and sub drive-through fundraiser this coming, I think it's Saturday, October 9th. That might be Friday. October 9th from 5 to 7:30 at the Reinfeld Community Center. The money raised will be going toward medical bills for Lisa Reimer and Sons. Her husband recently passed away from a heart attack, and the family is not well. They're having some illnesses in the family. So if you could please help them out, that'd be great. And finally, to the Somerfeld Mennonite Church membership, greetings to all and thanks be to God who is continuing to bless us. As you all know, we have again come to the start of another fiscal year when the church needs to update our fiscal situation and responsibilities. On behalf of the whole church, we want to be grateful to God and one another for the monetary gifts that have come forward. In order for us to cover this year's expenses, we will once again be asking for the suggested membership fee of $400 per member per year. These fees help cover costs such as utilities and repairs to the churches, transportation for the ministerial, and major building improvements. Your donation should be made to the general fund and be marked membership. Online donations are also available. Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, and so can we. Thank you for co-laboring with us. That's from your church finance board. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete, for those announcements. As far as this message goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you for coming this morning. May God richly bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect and get every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be forever and ever. Amen. You may now depart with the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.